Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Dairy cattle in Texas and Kansas test positive for bird flu. Milk from dairy cows in Texas and Kansas has tested positive for bird flu, U.S. officials said Monday. Officials with the Texas Animal Health Commission confirmed the flu virus is the type A H5N1 strand, known for decades to cause outbreaks in birds and to occasionally infect people. The virus is affecting older dairy cows in those states and in New Mexico, causing decreased lactation and low appetite. It comes a week after officials in Minnesota announced that goats on a farm where there had been an outbreak of bird flu among poultry were diagnosed with the virus. It's believed to be the first time bird flu, also known as highly pathogenic avian influenza, was found in U.S. livestock. The commercial milk supply is safe and risk to people is low, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dairies are required to only allow milk from healthy animals to enter the food supply, and milk from the sick animals is being diverted or destroyed. Pasteurization also kills viruses and other bacteria, and the process is required for milk sold through interstate commerce, the agency said. At this stage, there is no concern about the safety of the commercial milk supply or that this circumstance poses a risk to consumer health, the USDA said in a statement. The federal government said its tests in the cattle did not detect any changes to the virus that would make it spread more easily to people. Dairy farmers in Texas first became concerned 3 weeks ago when cattle started falling ill with what officials called mystery dairy cow disease. Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller said milk production fell sharply and the cows were lethargic and weren't eating much. "We hadn't seen anything like it before," he said. "It was kind of like they had a cold." The state's Animal Health Commission began an investigation that included tests for bird flu, spokeswoman Erin Robinson said. Based on findings from Texas, USDA officials think the cows got the virus from infected wild birds. Your morning bowl of cereal. National Cereal Day was March the 7th this year, and we love the stuff. Cereal is a staple in the Western diet, and for a delicious reason, there is nothing wrong with a big bowl of cereal, and you can add some things like Greek yogurt or ultra-filtered milk and even protein powder to help level off the higher carbohydrate amounts. While nothing comes close to this childhood classic, there are the things we have to take note of when choosing a cereal. 10 grams or less of added sugar. Added sugar is the number one culprit of diet woes. Added sugar can have a correlation with many chronic diseases, and if you add in additional lifestyle factors, it's a recipe for disaster. So controlling what we can is the take-home message here. Switching to a different cereal entirely may be your preferred method, but there are other options. For example, mixing your cereals. Taking your favorite and mixing it with a lower sugar option can help with this. For example, we love to suggest mixing Honey Nut Cheerios and its plain version. You're still getting the same great sweet taste, but with less sugar. This is great for toddlers, kids, to adults and beyond. 3 grams more of fiber. Fiber helps keep us full and regulated. And if you've been following along since January, we've discussed many times why fiber is so important to have in the diet. Not only its importance, but the types of fiber, the benefits, and how it changes the nutritional game. The next time you're wandering down the cereal aisle, turn around a few of the packages to read the nutrition label and see if it's more than 3 grams. For reference, the recommended intake for women is 26 grams and men is 38 grams or more per day. 150 milligrams or less of sodium. Looking at the sodium is the last on our list, but the first on our list if you have babies under one who who are trying cereals for toddlers. For littles, we like looking for less than 100 milligrams or less of sodium per 100 grams of product. For us adults, 150 milligrams or less. Sodium is not the enemy because we need it, just like sugar, but too much of it is where we can see some less than ideal outcomes. We like incorporating cereal into our lifestyles by doing a few of the following ideas. As a bowl of cereal with ultra-filtered milk to increase the protein, mixed in with Greek yogurt, like a parfait, as part of a snack, part of trail mix, as a breading on proteins compared to traditional crumbs, as a crumb on warm fruit or pie. And here's a recipe, frozen Greek yogurt cereal bites ingredients. 1 tablespoon of your favorite cereal, 2 tablespoons of plain Greek yogurt, and 1/8 teaspoon of honey. Mix together Greek yogurt and honey. Pour 2 tablespoons mixture into a silicone muffin liners or mold and top with 1.5 tablespoon of cereal and lightly press in. Freeze for 3 hours or overnight. Kidney disease. There are about 37 million adults in the U.S. that are living with chronic kidney issues, but about 90% don't know it. You usually don't see symptoms, said Dr. Ike Akwiba, program director and associate professor of family and community medicine at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Kidneys filter your blood, remove waste, balance water and nutrients, and release some hormones to help regulate blood pressure, produce red blood cells, and help with bone health. It's not just a filter. It does a lot of things. It's a very, very important organ that I think it's our duty to try to protect, he added. According to the Mayo Clinic website, signs and symptoms of kidney disease are often nonspecific. This means they can also be caused by other illnesses. Because your kidneys are able to make up for lost function, you might not develop signs and symptoms until irreversible damage has occurred. Fatigue, anemia, protein in the urine, which can make it foamy, and swollen legs are signs of the disease, Okwiva said. But by that time, the disease has progressed a little bit more. A ton of people have CKD, or chronic kidney disease, and don't know about it. It's very easy to test these things in the blood. Every year, you go see your doctor. They can do a blood test for you. It shows how much your kidneys are still filtering. So the function of your kidneys. They can even do a urine test. That would show if your kidneys are leaking proteins. He added that the 2 most common causes of chronic kidney issues in the United States are diabetes and high blood pressure. Obesity can also be a risk factor. It's recommended that people exercise 150 minutes a week, or about 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Controlling your high blood pressure, diabetes, salt intake, watching your diet, eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, quit smoking and staying hydrated, and asking your doctor about any medications you might be taking that could impact your kidneys also helps. Sometimes doctors may need to reduce the dose of some medications. It's going to have to be that good relationship between your doctor and yourself and watching. If your primary care doctor thinks you need to see a kidney doctor, they can refer you. Should the disease progress too far, it's dialysis or a kidney transplant. Kidney function is going to decline with age, starting at about age 60, he said. If you have a family history of kidney disease, it puts you more at risk. If the kidneys are damaged, it increases the risk of heart attack and stroke. It also affects bone health. Quick hits. Eat a sandwich today. Jersey Mike's annual Day of Giving to support local Meals on Wheels organizations is bringing together Senior Life Midland and Meals on Wheels of Odessa to join forces for good. To celebrate the company's 14th annual month of giving fundraising campaign, Jersey Mike's subs selected Senior Life Midland and Meals on Wheels of Odessa as the local charities they will support with 100% of their proceeds on their 14th annual Day of Giving, which will be held today at both Midland and Odessa Jersey Mike's subs location. All orders will qualify, including orders placed online through the Jersey Mike's subs app and even through food delivery apps like Uber Eats and DoorDash. Jersey Mike's subs locations in Midland and Odessa are in Midland, 4400 Midland Drive, and in Odessa, 727 Texas 191. And the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band is scheduled in concert at 7 p.m. March the 28th at the Ector Theater. Share Walk, Sharing Hands a Respite Experience, SHARE, has scheduled its 15th annual Share Walk. The event will begin at 9 a.m. April the 20th at Astound Broadband Stadium, 801 North Loop 250 in Midland. As the largest of two fundraisers hosted by the organization, the Shooters That Share Clay Shoot is the other and scheduled for July the 19th. Both help raise money for the nonprofit, whose focus is helping families with a special needs child. Bouncers and other children's activities will also be on site, including lunch provided by Market Street. All proceeds will remain local. Founded as a nonprofit in 2009, Share currently works with 175 families in Odessa, Midland, and the surrounding areas to provide services such as respite care, support groups, support for siblings, and mom and dad nights out. The nonprofit offers much-needed assistance for those raising special needs children, including those with Down syndrome, autism, and those with other medical issues. This day in history, on March 27, 1973, The Godfather won the Academy Award for Best Picture of 1972, but its star, Marlon Brando, refused to accept his Oscar for Best Actor. And in what would become one of the Oscar's most famous moments, sent in his place actor and activist Sean Sheen Littlefeather, who spoke out about the depiction of Native Americans in Hollywood. In 2022, months before her death, the Academy would apologize for the abuse Littlefeather received at the time. And on this date in 1513, Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon sighted present-day Florida. In 1625, Charles I acceded to the English throne upon the death of James I. In 1794, Congress approved an act to provide a naval armament of six armed ships. In 1912, First Lady Helen Taft and the wife of Japan's ambassador to the United States, Viscountess Chinda, planted the first two of 3,000 cherry trees given to the U.S. as a gift by the mayor of Tokyo. In 1945, during World War II, General Dwight D. Eisenhower told reporters in Paris that German defenses on the Western Front had been broken. In 1968, Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, the first man to orbit the Earth in 1961, died. MiG-15 jet crashed during a routine training flight near Moscow. He was 34. In 1975, construction began on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, which was completed 2 years later. In 1977, in aviation's worst disaster, 583 people were killed when a KLM Boeing 747 attempting to take off in heavy fog crashed into a Pan Am 747 on an airport runway on the Canary Island of Tenerife. In 1980, 123 workers died when a North Sea floating oil field platform, the Alexander Killian, capsized during a storm. In 2012, award-winning poet Andrea Rich died in Santa Cruz, California at age 82 while art critic Hilton Kramer died in Harpswell, Maine at 83. In 2018, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, in an essay on the New York Times website, called for the repeal of the Second Amendment to allow for significant gun control legislation. Isn't Medicare Part A free? By Tony King. Dear Tony, I need your help because I have made a mistake enrolling in Medicare. This February, my husband Sonny was laid off and lost his employer health insurance, which I was on. He is a veteran and is receiving his health care from the VA, so he did not have to enroll in Medicare, and his health care is not costing us anything. I have enrolled in Medicare since I am turning 65 in April, but am not sure if I enrolled properly because my Medicare is costing me an extra $505 for Medicare Part A and $174.70 for Medicare Part B. Isn't Medicare Part A free? I have not worked very much since Sonny and I married 40 years ago, and Social Security said that is my issue. Please explain what I should do to correct my Medicare mistake. Dear Tony responds, no, Medicare Part A is not free. Many Americans enrolling in Medicare are not aware that they must work a certain amount of time and pay employment taxes to receive premium-free Medicare Part A. This is most likely the cause of your problem, and the Tony Says Medicare team helps resolve this issue quite often. To qualify for Medicare Part A at no cost, you must have worked and paid Social Security and Medicare taxes from your payroll check for 10 years or 40 quarters. For 2024, if you paid Medicare taxes for 30 to 39 quarters, then the standard Part A premium is $278 each month. If you paid Medicare taxes for less than 30 quarters, the premium for Medicare Part A is $505 each month, which is $1 less than in 2023. However, those who do not qualify for premium-free Medicare Part A, but who have been married for at least 10 years to an individual who has met the 10 years 40 quarters requirement, should apply for Medicare under their working spouse's Social Security number. Terry, you should have applied for Medicare under Sonny's account. My advice to you, Terry, would be to contact your Social Security office, since that is the government office which enrolls America in Medicare. Ask the Social Security representative for help to appeal your Medicare Part A premium of $505 because you have been a stay-at-home spouse, but your husband has worked enough quarters to qualify for premium-free Medicare Part A. Social Security will look over your husband's Social Security accounts and verify with the IRS that he has enough quarters to qualify for premium-free Medicare Part A. Be prepared to provide a certified marriage license showing you are married. You will have to provide the original certified marriage license, not a copy, to Social Security. For those who did not work enough quarters to qualify and never married or lived with someone as a domestic partner, they will have to pay for their Medicare Part A premium. And if your spouse or domestic partner did not work enough quarters, you both will have to pay for their Medicare Part A premium. Readers, don't forget how important working and paying taxes for 40 quarters is to enroll in Medicare. What you don't know about enrolling in Medicare will hurt you. Chapter 1 of Tony's Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition can help you avoid problems like Terry's. And if you have a Medicare question or would like to schedule a Medicare consultation, call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or email info@tonysays.com. Tony's new Confused About Medicare video series is available at tonysays.com, and Tony is spelled T-O-N-I.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness. for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. Midland Memorial Hospital. Midland County Hospital District seeks police officers. What is a police officer? The answer to this question encompasses a wide array of responsibilities and skills. Protecting lives and property are core essentials of policing. Public assistance takes on many forms, which often include helping people through adversity and crises. Professionalism is another vital component of policing, where a licensed Texas peace officer can help ease the hardships of others during their times of struggle. With compassion, an empathetic police officer can positively affect the community in ways that strengthen society. Police officers are public servants who utilize lawful means to preserve the peace and help make our communities thrive and prosper. Police service also includes investigating crimes, locating missing persons, apprehending criminals, documenting incidents with detailed reports, preparing criminal cases to file with the courts, recovering stolen property, and offering help to individuals experiencing a mental health crisis. Promoting safety, police identify many dangerous situations and implement measures to safeguard the community from these identified risks. Security is another element of policing to protect people and property from criminal behavior. If these qualities sound like characteristics you possess, and you are a licensed peace officer in the state of Texas, then the Midland County Hospital District Police Department could be the right fit for you. Founded in 2015, the MCHD Police Department serves the community by helping to protect the patients and staff at the Midland Memorial Hospital and its affiliate medical office buildings. Duties include working 12-hour shifts with every other weekend scheduled off. Patrol responsibilities are primarily on foot throughout the hospital and satellite locations. Preferred candidates have mental health officer certification and experience. Women's health. When surgery for endometriosis is the answer. Endometriosis is a painful condition where cells similar to the lining of the uterus grow outside of the uterus. While it most commonly occurs in the pelvis, it can occur anywhere in the abdomen or pelvis. Dr. Megan Wasson, a minimally invasive gynecologic surgeon at Mayo Clinic, says it's a quality of life issue, affecting approximately 1 out of every 10 reproductive-aged people. Quote, endometriosis can cause a large inflammatory process throughout the entire body that can result in fatigue and nausea. It can affect the bowels. It can really affect every single organ system, end quote, says Wasson. Symptoms of endometriosis. Most frequently, patients will experience pelvic pain or perhaps cramping with their menstrual periods. Quote, they can also develop pain with intercourse, pain with bowel movements, pain with urination, end quote, says Wasson. Quote, it really can be a whole body disease, end quote. Women can manage symptoms with over-the-counter medication or medication to stabilize hormones, but that doesn't cure endometriosis. Quote, the only way to really get to the root of endometriosis is surgery, end quote, says Wasson. Laparoscopic surgery is a less invasive option, commonly used to diagnose and treat endometriosis. Health fair. Midland Health Department plans fair. The Midland Health Department will present a health fair from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on April 6, 2024, at the Beale Ranch House, 5200 West Wall Street. The health fair promises to be an enriching experience, offering valuable resources and activities aimed at promoting wellness and fostering community connections. The event will also serve as a platform for individuals to engage in interactive and educational activities, emphasizing the importance of prioritizing health and well-being. Attendees can look forward to a diverse range of offerings, including games, community resources, and live demonstrations. Highlights of the event include free blood pressure checks. Certified healthcare professionals will be on site to provide complimentary blood pressure screenings, enabling attendees to monitor their cardiovascular health. Raffle prizes. Attendees will have the opportunity to participate in raffle draws, featuring exciting prizes such as a Rockhounds swag bag that includes 20 free game tickets, adding an element of excitement to the event. CPR demonstrations. Learn life-saving techniques through CPR demonstrations facilitated by qualified instructors, empowering individuals with essential skills in emergency situations. Physical fitness demonstrations. Engage in dynamic physical fitness activities and demonstrations, promoting the benefits of regular exercise and an active lifestyle. Free STI testing. The health fair will also offer free STI testing, providing individuals with access to essential healthcare services in a confidential and supportive environment. The Midland Health Department is committed to creating an inclusive and accessible environment, welcoming individuals of all ages and backgrounds to join in this celebration of health and community. Quote, we are excited to organize this health fair as part of our ongoing commitment to promote wellness and community engagement in Midland, end quote, said Danielle Marino, community health educator for the Midland Health Department. Quote, this event represents an opportunity for residents to come together, learn, and prioritize their health in a supportive and interactive setting, end quote. Don't miss out on this unique opportunity to prioritize your health and connect with your community. For more information about the health fair, please contact Danielle Marino at 432-425-2959. Cancer. Warning signs of colorectal cancer in younger adults. Colorectal cancer, the third most common cancer in the U.S., has been rising among younger people for the past two decades. It is not one type of cancer, but two cancers. Colon cancer, which starts in the large intestine, and rectal cancer, which begins in the last part of the large intestine, known as the rectum. Dr. Derek Eppner, a Mayo Clinic gastroenterologist, notes that colorectal cancer has been increasing in adults under age 50, particularly for rectal cancer. He says it's important to know the warning signs of colorectal cancer and to not delay medical treatment. Quote, historically, colorectal cancer was equally divided along the colon and rectum, but particularly for those with early-onset colorectal cancer, aged less than 50, we're seeing higher rates of rectal cancer among the younger onset, end quote, says Eppner. Cases of colorectal cancer have been increasing in adults under age 50, particularly for rectal cancer. Warning signs and symptoms of colorectal cancer. Eppner says four key symptoms have been identified for people under 50 who are diagnosed with colorectal cancer. Quote, abdominal pain, diarrhea, seeing blood with bowel motions, as well as iron deficiency anemia, end quote, he says. Eppner notes that blood loss after bowel movements, even if it is not visibly apparent, can lead to low iron levels. Quote, if on a blood test, for example, we see a sign of iron deficiency, that would then prompt us to explore further, end quote, he says. Eppner says he understands it may be an embarrassing topic, but shouldn't be ignored. Quote, if you have any of those symptoms, you need to share it with a healthcare provider. That way they can navigate those subsequent steps, end quote, he stresses, which can lead to early treatment and better outcomes. Reducing risks of colorectal cancer. While it's not possible to completely prevent cancer, there are ways to reduce your risks, and that includes following a healthy lifestyle. Quote, abiding by a healthy lifestyle is critical, end quote, says Eppner. Quote, following a well-rounded diet, staying physically active, for instance, perhaps can be protective. The other key, though, is just being very mindful of those symptoms and then also underscoring the importance of screening, end quote. Screening. Talk to your healthcare team about colorectal cancer screening. Exercise. Aim for 30 minutes of exercise most days. Nutrition. Eat fruits, veggies, and whole grains. Weight. Maintain a healthy weight. Lifestyle. Don't smoke. Limit alcohol consumption. National Kidney Month. Understanding kidney cancer. March is National Kidney Month, which makes this a good time to learn about kidney cancer. Kidney cancer is cancer that begins in the kidneys, which are two bean-shaped organs, each about the size of your fist. They're behind your abdominal organs, with one kidney on each side of your spine. The kidneys remove waste from your blood and regulate a healthy balance between water, sodium, and minerals in your bloodstream. Approximately 81,600 new cases of kidney cancer, more than 52,000 in men, and 29,000 in women will be diagnosed in the U.S. this year. And 14,390 people, 9,450 men, and 4,940 women will die from the disease, according to the American Cancer Society. There may be no signs or symptoms early in the disease. In time, signs and symptoms of kidney cancer can develop, including blood in your urine, which may appear pink, red, or cola-colored, pain in your back or side that doesn't go away, loss of appetite, unexplained weight loss, tiredness, fever. Factors that can increase the risk of kidney cancer include older age, smoking, obesity, high blood pressure, treatment for kidney failure, certain inherited syndromes, and a family history of kidney cancer. Treatment for kidney cancer usually begins with surgery to remove the cancer. For cancers confined to the kidney, this may be the only treatment needed. If the cancer is spread beyond the kidney, additional treatments may be recommended. Small kidney cancers are sometimes destroyed using non-surgical treatments such as heat and cold. These procedures may be an option in certain situations, such as in people with other health problems that make surgery risky. Kidney cancer that comes back after treatment and kidney cancer that spreads to other parts of the body may not be curable. Treatments may help control the cancer and keep you comfortable. In these situations, treatments may include surgery, targeted therapy, immunotherapy, and radiation therapy. Brain. The difference in types of aneurysms. Each year, nearly 500,000 people worldwide die from brain aneurysms. In the U.S., an estimated 6.7 million people have an unruptured brain aneurysm, which means about 1 in 50 people might have one. A brain aneurysm, also called a cerebral aneurysm, is a bulge or ballooning in a blood vessel in the brain. Dr. Chris Fox, a Mayo Clinic neurosurgeon, says there are two broad categories of aneurysms: ruptured aneurysms, which are neurosurgical emergencies, and unruptured aneurysms, where there is time to establish a treatment plan that may involve multiple options. Quote, for unruptured aneurysms, we have the ability to plan and make a decision on the best treatment up front in a non-emergent situation, end quote, says Fox. But when a brain aneurysm ruptures, prompt medical attention is required. Quote, typically, when we see a patient with a ruptured aneurysm, we treat it as quickly as possible. That's usually within a matter of hours because there's a risk that the aneurysm can re-rupture, end quote, he says. Symptoms. Symptoms of a ruptured aneurysm can include severe head pain, nausea, vomiting, confusion, and loss of consciousness. Quote, the classic presentation for a ruptured aneurysm is a patient who has the worst headache of their life, end quote, Fox says. Brain aneurysms are more common in women, and there may be a genetic component because aneurysms can run in families. Quote, but smoking and hypertension are two of the biggest risk factors for causing an aneurysm or having an aneurysm form, end quote, says Fox.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, March 23rd. New oil wells are more productive. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Despite a nearly 25% decline in the rig count last year, U.S. crude oil production continues to rise, averaging 13.3 million barrels per day. That growth was spurred by productivity increases in new wells, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration's recent Petroleum Supply Monthly. The agency said in its report, the nation's crude oil production has risen to record highs since 2010 and risen even more quickly in recent months despite falling drilling activity. Since first surpassing the previous record in August 2023, U.S. crude oil production has increased another 2%, exceeding the pre-pandemic November 2019 peak by 300,000 barrels per day. According to the EIA's drilling productivity report, rising production came from a combination of rising new well production and higher sustained legacy well production. New well production is defined as production during the first 12 months, while legacy production is defined as production after those initial 12 months. The EIA said the share of legacy production has remained stable since 2021, while production from new wells has continued to increase. In the Permian, the agency pegged new well production at 1,359 barrels per day from one average rig and expects that to increase to 1,372 barrels per day from one average rig. New natural gas production was pegged at 2,512 MCF per day from one average rig in March and increased that to 2,523 MCF in April. Legacy production from Permian Basin wells is forecast to fall 422,000 barrels per day from March to April. Last April, legacy production fell 370,000 barrels per day from the previous month, according to the EIA. All told, the EIA forecasts Permian production will total 6.1 million barrels per day in March and 6.1 million barrels a day in April. Natural gas production is expected to total 25,058 MCF per day in March and 25,192 MCF in April. EIA researchers note that the number of new wells brought online by drilling activity has historically been the key determinant of whether crude oil production increases or decreases. However, advances in horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing technologies have increased well productivity, enabling producers to extract more crude oil from new wells drilled while maintaining production from legacy wells. The number of new wells added every year in the United States has fluctuated over the past decade, although the number of new wells notably peaked at 13,745 in 2014. Subsequent activity dipped before showing signs of returning in June 2016. The number of new wells fell by nearly 40%, 4,829 wells, in 2020 to 7,147 because of the economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Since then, the number of new crude oil wells has increased in every year at a slower pace compared with pre-pandemic rates. In 2022, the number of new crude oil wells was the same as in 2017. In the first half of 2023, drillers increased the number of new wells by 624 wells, or 12%, compared with the same period in 2022. This growth in the number of new wells indicates that growth in production is supported increasingly by increased productivity despite fewer operating drilling rigs compared with the past. The United States became the global leader in crude oil production in 2018, surpassing Russia and Saudi Arabia because of the substantial increase in crude oil output before 2016. By October 2023, after the economic disruptions resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic, the United States accounted for 16% of global crude oil production, the most recent month for which data are available. Pipeline constraints reintroducing volatility to WTI Midland prices. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Permian Basin oil producers should prepare for a widening price spread from Midland to the Magellan East Houston market this summer due to pipeline constraints. Quote, "While we don't expect spreads to blow out to the $12 a barrel range seen in 2018, East Daily believes the market is underestimating the potential for regional volatility," Christy Olazek, crude oil director at East Daily Analytics, wrote in a recent report. She noted that Magellan's hub on the Houston Ship Channel currently trades at a 30-cent premium to West Texas Intermediate Midland. While futures contracts are pricing that spread to average 42 cents through the remainder of the year and 80 cents in 2025, her firm sees a larger premium. East Daily expects the spread will eventually increase to $2 per barrel or 150% above current expectations without new pipe expansion. Permian Basin barrels are primarily headed to Corpus Christi, she told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview, and those pipelines are full, sending crude to the secondary market in Houston. She forecast Houston-bound pipelines will be 90% utilized by year-end. East Daly predicts total Permian takeaway capacity will exceed 80% utilization beginning in July. Quote, "It will be harder to get barrels to market, and the differential will be wider," she stated. "They won't get as much for their barrels," end quote. "The alternative will be to send crude to Cushing in Oklahoma," she said. "For WTI Midland to reach the Gulf Coast via Cushing, it must first travel to the Cushing hub and then south to the Houston Nederland markets, incurring additional tariffs and possibly losing its premium as a pure Permian barrel. There are several projects awaiting permits that could significantly ease takeaway constraint," she said. Enterprise Products Partners is planning a 550-mile pipeline to transport up to 600,000 barrels per day of natural gas liquid from the Permian Basin to Houston and could begin operation in the first half of 2025. Energy Transfer has also announced plans to expand its NGL export capacity at Nederland. It, too, is expected to enter service in mid-2025. Those projects, once online, could be game changers and make the Houston area the main destination for Permian crude, said Olazek, noting those new facilities would have the capability of loading very large crude carriers. "The market is stalling as traders wait to see what happens with those permits and additional takeaway infrastructure," she said. "It is a problem Permian Basin operators will continue to face as production is forecast to grow further, though at a slower pace," she said. East Daly predicts Permian production will grow another 6% through 2024. The bulk of this growth is taking place in the second half of the year and amount to 245,000 barrels per day of incremental production, ending 2024 at 6.5 million barrels per day of production. East Daly does not expect the differential to reach the $12 seen in 2018, which was mainly due to pipeline constraints and grew as utilization approached 80%. Since 2018, the company noted that capacity has grown significantly. The forecast is for available pipeline capacity to average 1.1 million barrels a day in the second half of the year, more than double available capacity in 2017 and 2018. Olazek advises producers to be prudent and reserve pipeline space. Preventing pressure drop critical to reducing emissions. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Crude oil and natural gas producers seeking to reduce or mitigate emissions are urged to take a look at preventing pressure drop. Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, explained that pipes transport vapor from oil and water tanks to emissions control devices, and the design of these pipes determine how efficiently those emissions control devices operate. The goal is to minimize the pressure drop through these pipes, which would produce the maximum pressure at the device. Pressure drop refers to the decrease in vapor pressure as it flows through a pipe due to various factors such as friction, changes in elevation, and flow restrictions. Less pressure drop results in higher pressure at the emissions control device at the end of the pipe. Increased pressure drop reduces the efficiency of emissions control devices like flares and combustors, which perform more efficiently with higher inlet pressure. Two, as pressure drops restrict the vapor from flowing through the pipe, that vapor remains in the tank and builds pressure there, increasing the likelihood it escapes through the hatches and other leak points. Quote, "Faulty facility design is the root cause of the emissions issue, Schwarzwalder told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Without proper sizing and layout, eliminating emissions becomes much harder, end quote. Preventing pressure drop, and thus improving the efficiency of emissions control devices, begins with facility design and construction, he wrote. For starters, select the correct size tanks and pipes to prevent pressure drop before it occurs. Pipe length and pipe diameter, as well as internal roughness, are factors, he wrote, as are the presence of fittings and valves. Doing the proper testing of vapors through a direct measurement test allows the operator to understand the vapor he needs to move and match this to the facility he has in place with the proper equipment, he added. Unfortunately, he noted, most of the facilities are in place and it is very expensive to alter. Not only are there high capital costs, but he pointed out that facility upgrades also result in shutting down operations, which can impact production and revenue. An alternative to increasing the flow rate to the emissions device, positioning a vapor blower at the tank, which evacuates the tank vapor and pushes it down the pipe to the emissions control device. A consistent preventative maintenance program, cleaning flame arresters, and maintaining the devices on a regular basis to optimize flow and performance is critical. Quote, with the industry striving to reduce methane venting and unnecessary emissions, minimizing pressure drop is a key driver to achieving this goal, according to Schwarzwalder. Producers seeing success in Dawson County horizontals. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Martin and Midland counties dominate the Lone Star State's crude oil production, but some producers are starting to turn their sights north to Dawson County in the northern Midland Basin. State data indicates some significant horizontal completions in southern Dawson County. Quote, horizontal well completions per year in Dawson County have increased about 5 times over the last 3 years, from 2021 to 2023, compared to the average over the 3-year period prior, 2018 to 2020, according to Dane Gregoris, managing director at Enverus Intelligence Research, or EIR. He told the Reporter-Telegram by email that several companies, SM Energy, Birch Operations, and IKE Operating, are the key operators largely responsible for the uptick in activity in this region. Quote, average oil well productivity has also improved over these periods, driven by a move to longer laterals and focus on the Dean and Middle Spraberry intervals, he wrote. SM Energy acquired acreage in Dawson County and North Martin County last year in an area it calls the Klondike, according to company executives. As Gregoris noted, executives said SM Energy is indeed targeting the Dean and Middle Spraberry in the Klondike area, 20,700 net acres that cover both North Martin and Dawson counties. Herb Vogel, president and chief executive officer, told analysts last month during the company's earnings call that SM had drilled one science well, quote, from which we gathered log and core data and plan to start acquiring 3D seismic this month in order to optimize development plans. Vogel also reported to analysts that the company's 2024 program is expected to include development of 3 pads having a total of 8 or 9 wells. First completions are expected to come online in June, with initial results available to report by the end of the 3rd quarter. Locations were added in the Klondike area based on offset well data, and the company expects to further delineation and development to bring further upside from the acreage. Quote, as you know, some of our most prolific Rockstar area wells are drilled into the Dean and located in North Martin, about 10 miles away, he stated. He concluded, quote, we have an exceptional geosciences team who targeted adding additional Dean inventory to our portfolio, leading to this acquisition, end quote.
Dear Dr. Roach, recently I had anal cancer and was treated with chemo and radiation. The radiation burned my insides, severely damaging most of my internal organs. One of the after effects was occasional blood and small clots in my urine. A few months ago, both the frequency and the amount of blood, especially the clots, increased dramatically. The size and number of clots got so large that they blocked my urethra. During a visit to my urologist, he looked into my bladder, declaring it angry. Then he told me the same thing every doctor has told me about every problem caused by my treatment. It was caused by the radiation, and there is nothing that can be done. Shortly after this, I began to take unfiltered apple cider vinegar in hopes that it would improve my digestive problems. It helped a little, but the big difference was that I have not had a single reoccurrence of either blood or clots in my urine. Can you tell me if this is due to the vinegar or just a coincidence? Dr. Roach answers, no, I can't definitely tell you whether the vinegar helped. It was probably by chance. But let me explain a little about it. Rectal cancer is often treated with radiation or combined chemotherapy and radiation, either prior to or after surgery. The dose of radiation is quite high compared to some other cancers, and the complications can be significant. In addition to damage to the bowel and bladder, radiation treatment can damage the bones and bone marrow, leading to poor blood cell production, infertility, premature menopause, and more cancer years later. On the other hand, radiation is used when it is expected to improve the cure rate of cancer. Still, the side effects can be challenging. I was unable to find any study that evaluated the effectiveness of apple cider vinegar. I am skeptical, but reports like yours of apparent improvement associated with its use might convince a researcher to conduct a study to determine whether it really is effective. And you can write to Dr. Keith Roach and Your Good Health at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida 32853-6475. Dear Abby, we recently moved to a new neighborhood. My 8-year-old son, Joey, has become best friends with a classmate, Paul, who lives on our street. We know from research we did when we bought our house that Paul's stepfather, with whom he lives, is a sex offender who committed crimes against children and served time in prison. Paul has been coming to our house most days, which is fine. However, both Paul and Joey have started asking whether Joey can go play at Paul's house. I will never allow my son to play there. At some point, the boys will want an explanation, but I don't think Paul knows about his stepfather's past, and I don't think Paul's mother knows that I know. If I tell Joey an age-appropriate version of the truth, I am sure he will tell Paul. I don't think this is how Paul should hear about his stepfather's past. Plus, I am concerned it might cause Paul's mother to get upset and cut off the kid's friendship. Do you have any advice? Dear Abby responds, are you absolutely certain that you have the story right and Paul's stepdad is a registered sex offender? I ask because I'm surprised that he would be allowed to live in a household with a minor child. Your concern that Joey might tell Paul about his stepfather is laudable. A way to handle it would be to continue insisting that the boys play only at your house. I do think you should discuss this with Paul's mother so you know for sure this is what you are dealing with. If it is true, for the next few years, use the old, because I'm your mother and I said so, when Joey asks to visit Paul. Eventually, the truth is going to come out, but Paul should hear it from his mother. Another dear Abby, I've been married for 8 years. I love my wife with my heart and soul. The problem is, although I'm in love with her, I still feel love for my ex-wife. I never actually expressed these feelings towards my ex until recently. I write to her and call her, hoping she will answer. I don't want to leave my wife because she's a good woman, but so is my ex. What can I do? Every time my wife and I have a disagreement, I start thinking about my ex and what life would have been like if I had stayed with her. I find myself thinking about her more and more often each day. I know my ex still loves me, although she won't come out and say it. Is it okay to be in love with one and still love the other? Dear Abby responds, may I inject a sliver of reality into your fantasy? You say you know your ex-wife still loves you, although she won't come out and say it, nor does she answer your passionate letters. I say her refusal to communicate sends a pretty strong message that she doesn't feel the way you do. I don't know what is wrong in your current marriage, but if you don't stop pining over the wife you dumped, you are going to lose this one too. Counseling may help you accomplish this, and it is what I strongly recommend. Start now. And you can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.